If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. As you're turning over there, we welcome everyone, as has already been mentioned, and we're appreciative especially of our visitors. We hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. Also, we have the elders and deacons will be meeting this afternoon. If you need, anyone in the congregation needs to mention anything to them after services this morning, they can bring that up at the meeting. Toward the beginning of the year, I'd like to remind us of some important principles that we need to have in our life toward the beginning of the year, hopefully that we can set those and make those permanent throughout the year. Last Sunday, I talked about the importance of a faith that has roots that go downward so that we can bear fruit upward. We need to have strong biblical roots. That's a good basic principle. Another good principle I want us to be reminded of toward the beginning of the year is that matter of priorities, putting God first and God's word and God's will first in our life, because it's easy to crowd Him out and get busy doing all kinds of things. And no doubt, maybe you have already made plans for this year. You've got some things coming up and you've planned certain things that you want to do at certain times. A lot of times folks will go to Office Depot and they will get a yearly planner and they start filling that in of all the different things that they want to be doing in 2025. And that's a great thing. It's good to be organized, but we've got to be careful that we're not planning so much each day and each week that we are so busy doing that we are not doing what God wants us to do. So to encourage us along those lines, I want to take our story this morning from 1 Kings chapter 20. When you turn to 1 Kings chapter 20, you're looking at a very dark period in Israel's history. You're looking at, if not the most wicked king, one of the most wicked kings of Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And at this time, God is using the Syrians to the north of Israel to punish them, and the king is Ben-Hadad. And in 1 Kings chapter 20, in verse 1, when Ben-Hadad comes up against Samaria, or the northern kingdom of Israel, he has all of these demands. I want you to give me your gold and silver and your wives and your children. And Ahab says, yes, I'll give you all of that. And then Ben-Hadad says, I'm also going to send my messengers, and the next day, when they come into town, anything they see, you have to give it to them. Well, the elders of the city tell Ahab, no, you're not going to do that. This guy is, he's just demanding too much. He's asking for too much. We're not going to do that. And so as a result of that, Ben-Hadad and Ahab go to war there in Samaria. In 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 13, God sends a prophet, and he says, if you'll trust in me, I will deliver you out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, so that you may know that I am the Lord. And that's impressive to me. I'm not sure what's more important in today's sermon, what I'm talking about, or that point right there, that God would be so merciful to one of the most wicked kings. He really is merciful and gracious. And he ends up saving Ahab and his army. It's amazing how God will even work with the most wicked people to try to get them to come back. Well, Ben-Hadad is defeated there in the city of Samaria, and they think that maybe the problem is that their God, the Israelites' God, maybe their God is a God of the hills, and he's not a God of the plains. So next year, when we go back and attack, we will attack them out on the plains. So in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 22 and verse 26, they have another war out on the plain of near a place called Aphek. And God sends a prophet again and it says, if you'll trust in me, I will deliver you out of his hand and I will show you that I am the Lord. And he delivers them a second time. We're going to pick up the reading in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 31. When Ben-Hadad and others escape that second battle, we're going to pick up the reading there in the lesson that I've entitled, Busy Here and There. Brethren, we need to be careful that we don't develop this approach each day. Well, I'm busy. And I can't do this and I can't do that for the Lord because I'm busy. Sometimes when a person says, I'm busy, they're not telling you about their schedule. They're telling you about their priorities. Let me say that again. They're not telling you about their schedule. They're telling you about their priorities. And we certainly have work that we need to go to in school, and we've got to take care of the kids and so forth, and pay the bills, and there's things that we have to do in the upkeep of the house and things like that. But we've got to be very careful that we just don't become so busy that we can't do what the Lord wants us to do. So after this second defeat of Ben-Hadad, we pick up the reading in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 31. Ben-Hadad's servants said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, we pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads and go out to the king of Israel, Ahab. Peradventure, he will save thy life. So they girded their sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, Thy servant Ben-Hadad, notice how they present this great king of Syria is now being presented as, well, he's your servant, Ahab. Thy servant, Ben-Hadad, says, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, Is he yet alive? He is my brother. Notice in verse 32, Ahab calls Ben-Hadad his enemy. He's now calling him his brother. He's calling him his brother. You begin to see a softening toward Ahab rather than putting Ben-Hadad to death. You begin to see a softening on Ahab's part. Now the men observed diligently and hastened to catch whether it were in his mind. And they said, thy brother Ben-Hadad. Then he, Ahab said, go bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him and he caused him to come up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto Ahab, Thy cities which my father took from thy father I will restore. And thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. And I, said Ahab, will let thee go with this covenant. So he, Ahab, made a covenant with him, Ben-Hadad, and let him go. Let him go. When Ahab heard that I can expand my territory up into Damascus. In some versions there in verse 34 have the word bazaars, places where I can sell my goods up in Damascus. Ahab's thinking, well, this is a pretty good deal. This guy that I was just warring with is now making me a great deal. I'm going to let him go. Verse 35, And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his fellow by the word of Jehovah, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then said he unto him, Because thou hast not obeyed the voice of Jehovah, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. This is building up the point. This seems like a side point, but it's building up the point that what this man says is God's word, and you need to listen to it. And so it's building up to that point. Listen to what the prophet says. Verse 37. Then he found another man and said to him, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, smiting and wounding him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with his headband over his eyes. And as the king, Ahab, passed by, he cried unto the king and said, Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. He's probably talking about the most recent battle there at Aphek, verse 26 through 30. Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man, if by any means he be missing. Then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. So most likely what is happening here is that this prophet is telling a story. I was out in this recent battle and someone in charge came to me and most likely brought me a prisoner of war. It's probably what's being talked about here. So this prisoner of war has been brought to me and I'm supposed to watch over him. I'm supposed to keep an eye on him like a good soldier would do. And if I don't, then my life for his life or pay a talent of silver. Verse 40. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thou hast decided it. And he hastened and took the headband away from his eyes, and the king of Israel discerned him that he was one of the prophets. And he said unto him, thus says the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand the man whom I had devoted for destruction, that's Ben-Hadad, and back in verse 34, you let him go. Therefore, thy life shall be for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. The lesson comes from verse 40 in telling this story. When your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Now this man of God could have come to Ahab and just simply said, you let Ben-Hadad go. He could have just said that. But he chose to also implement this other point, which is a good point. And that is, you let him go because you were busy here and there. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. And this would be a problem. Verse 42, the prophet says to him, thy life shall be for his life. If you skip over the story in chapter 21 of Ahab and Naboth's vineyard, if you skip over to chapter 22, 3 years later, Ahab is killed by the king of Syria in a battle with him. He's in a battle with him, with Jehoshaphat. And not only is he in a battle, but the king tells his army to focus on killing Ahab, and he does. And the man shoots the arrow and it hits him between his armor and he dies. The man that he let go. It came back to bite him. It came back to haunt him. It came back to be a problem. And this man, according to verse 42, Ben-Hadad was devoted for destruction and Ahab let him go. And the prophet says, because you're busy here and there. So let's talk about that this morning, brethren. And let's have another foundational lesson toward the beginning of the year, and that is a lesson in priorities. Because maybe you've already filled up that calendar, and maybe we need to take a few things off the plate. Why is it that people are too busy? Well, there's a number of reasons. I just want to mention three by way of introduction this morning. First of all, people are so prosperous, they have so many things, that those material things fill their life every day, and it's either the upkeep on those things or the maintenance on those things or buying more things or replacing things. And the more we have, the more we have to take care of. So sometimes prosperity keeps people busy here and there. Sometimes it's a person's personality. They're such in their character, in their personality, that they're constantly going here and there, and there's nothing wrong with being energetic. I'm going to talk about that tonight with our brother Eric Lorenz that passed away. There's nothing wrong with being energetic, but I'm talking about the personality that is constantly doing this and doing that, but we won't stop and do what the Lord wants us to do. Maybe we've got this type A personality that is just, you know, almost hyper and, you know, go get it and on fire, but it's all directed at a lot of things and not what the Lord wants us to do. And then sometimes, of course, it's just a person's priorities. I've got my day filled with all these things, and they're not necessarily bad things. They're not evil things or wicked things. They're just things. Look back with me to Luke chapter 14. In the matter of the parable of this man, and this man is God who is inviting us to a feast. If you go back and look at those people who made excuses, they're not out doing wicked things. The lesson this morning is not about, oh, we're busy here and there doing wicked things. No, these people were doing perfectly fine things. They were going to work. For example, I've got an oxen and I've got to go prove it. And another one said, well, I've married a wife. There's nothing wrong with marriage, you see. These people are not out doing bad things. They're doing things. And it's those things that are keeping them from serving the Lord. And at the end of the story, God does not accept excuse making. He just doesn't accept it. Those who made excuses were not bidden to taste my supper. Well, I've got stuff I've got to do. You're not telling me about your schedule. You're telling me about your priorities. So, this morning I want us to consider the importance of not making excuses. I think about Moses in Exodus 3 and 4 who made excuses as to why he could not lead Israel out of Egypt. And I think about this story here. And I also think about in verse 21, the master of the house became angry. We may be comfortable with what we're saying, but the Lord is not. And so others are invited, others who have schedules such that they do want to come into the kingdom and they do want to eat of this great feast. We all have the same hours in the day, right? We all have the same hours in the week. We all have the same number of days in a month or in a year, but some people, all of a sudden, why is it that some people find time to do what the Lord wants and other people don't? We all have the same amount of time. It's up here. It's our attitude. It's our disposition. And let's not be this approach of, well, he was busy here and there, and let him go. While we're here in Luke chapter 14, let's just look at some things where people are too busy. I'm just too busy to accept the gospel invitation. That's our scripture reading, where the king opens up this feast and invites people. It's a parable talking about inviting the gospel invitation. Come and obey the gospel. Come and be baptized into Christ. No, I'm busy here and there. And I've got this going on and I've got that going on. And I hear you, preacher. And I know I need to do that, but I've got stuff I've got to work on first. That happens. And we jeopardize our soul's salvation. We're jeopardizing our eternity for what? Well, tomorrow I've got to go do this, and next week I've got to go do that. Busy here and there, and I let him go. And so people are so busy here and there that they're going to let go the opportunity to be baptized into Christ, or to come back to the Lord. 2025 could be the year that you and I die. 2025 can be the year that Jesus comes again. 2025 could be the year that your opportunities are gone. My opportunities are gone. Why? Well, Brother Rees, I was busy. And we've got our young people going back to school for this semester, and we need to pray for them and keep them in mind. But it could be school. It could be work. It could be a lot of things. It could be parenting. We've got to keep doing our things, but we've got to prioritize what's important, and obeying the gospel is important. That's number one. Making sure that we're right with God. We're going to sing an invitation song here in just a minute. I would encourage you to come forward. I'm too busy to hear the Word of God. I'm too busy to read the Bible every day. Really? I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed watching some football lately, both college and NFL. Maybe some of y'all have been doing that. We find time to watch football, right? I've enjoyed some of these recent games. Nothing wrong with that. Well, I don't have time to read my Bible every day. And so in the parable of the sower, the devil is wanting to take that Word of God from us. And we are so blessed to have a Bible. And I'm trying to help people around the world get Bibles in their hands and get those Bibles opened up. And we have, they're just laying everywhere, here and everywhere. Go to the thrift store, go to Goodwill, just all kinds of Bibles everywhere. But I'm too busy to read the Word of God every day. And so the Word of God, which falls on the heart that is represented by the thorns, choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. The word cares there doesn't necessarily have a negative connotation. It could be just normal things, but those normal things add up throughout the day and they choke out the Word of God and riches and pleasures. This is the word translated other places, the idea of hedonism. That would have a negative connotation to it. Brings no fruit to perfection. And I think about Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, where Martha is cumbered about with much serving, and Mary had chosen the good part. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing Him and learning from Him. But what's Martha doing? She's cumbered about with much serving. Is it wrong to prepare a meal? Is it wrong, ladies, to get your meal ready and get the house clean? Of course not. But on this occasion, Jesus is in her home. She needs to be prioritizing. Here's my chance to sit and listen to Jesus. Wouldn't that be a great one-on-one? How about having a one-on-one with Jesus? Boy, that would be awesome. But nope. I'm going over here, going over there. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Are we too busy to read our Bible, to hear the Word of God, to get our Bible class lesson? Well, you know, Jeff, I can't get, don't call on me. I'm not talking about, hadn't been feeling well already. I'm talking about, I'm just too busy to fill out my Bible class lesson. We need to take some things off our plate. We need to get the Word of God in our lives. I'm too busy to pray like I should. Lord, teach us to pray. Too busy. And, you know, I get up, gotta get ready for work, rush, rush, rush. Can't pray in the morning, then work gets going, can't pray in the middle of the day. And at the end of the day, I'm too tired and worn out. I just want to relax and watch TV and go to bed and just... I'm too hungry. I started in on that Big Mac and fries and didn't have time to thank the Lord for my meal. Too busy to pray like I should. But I'll tell you what, when we get in trouble, boy, God better bail me out. Boy, I'm having a hard time in my life. Lord, you better hear me now. On those other days, I was too busy to pray for you, but now I'm having a hard time, some health issue or something like that. Boy, you better listen to me, God. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's pray without ceasing, even in the good times. Too busy to pray. Too busy to assemble with the saints. Let's remind ourselves of that great privilege that we have to come together into God's house by looking at a few psalms here. Psalm 27 and verse 4. Well, the week is... No, I'm busy during the week. Well, change some things and be here. I'm too busy on Sunday night to come back. I'm too busy on Wednesday night to come back. I'm too busy during a gospel meeting. One thing I have asked Jehovah, that will I seek after. Here's your priorities. One thing. Here's what I'm seeking, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life. and to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in His temple. This is where I can see God. The glory of God. I can see Him on the pages of my Bible when I come in here. And when I sing about Him and when I study about Him. And one thing, this is going to be my priority. And parents of young children and parents of who are going to be parents in the near future, please raise your children on a priority of always being here for assembly from day one. From a babe, you have known the sacred writings. One thing that made Timothy so successful. And Jesus in the temple at age 12, I must be about my Father's business at age 12. Psalm 29 and verse 2, ascribe unto Jehovah the glory due unto His name. Worship Jehovah in holy array. Psalm 55 and verse 14, we took sweet counsel together. We walked in the house of God with the strong. The psalmist laments having a close friend that turned on him, but there was a time when they walked together in the Lord's house. Wow. Psalm 96, verses 4 through 9. For great is Jehovah and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But Jehovah made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe unto Jehovah, you kindreds of the peoples. Ascribe unto Jehovah glory and strength. Ascribe unto Jehovah the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship Jehovah in holy array. Tremble before Him, all ye earth. Well, I'm busy. I'm too tired. And yet we'll get up with the same level of energy and do all kinds of other things. Let's come into God's house. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto Jehovah, all ye lands. Serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that Jehovah, He is God. It is He that has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks unto Him and bless His name, for Jehovah is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and His faithfulness unto all generations. Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of Jehovah. When I was young, when I was real young, and mom and dad said, get in the car, we're going to church, there were some times that I wasn't glad because I was young and I didn't realize what was going on. Every time now, I'm glad. And they instilled that in me. It starts when you're young. There were times when I was in high school, I would grit my teeth, boy, I got homework. We drove 50 minutes one way to services, 50 minutes one way every week. And there would be times on Wednesday night, at band practice after school, getting home late, crammed down some food, I got a bunch of homework, I got to go to church, 50 minutes away one way. But now, I'm glad to go into the house of the Lord. But that attitude is instilled in us over and over again by our parents to teach us the importance and what a great privilege it is to come and worship God. Let us never be too busy to assemble for worship. I'm too busy to teach my neighbor. Now, I will talk with him about other things, sports and weather and how his leaves blew over on my yard. But do we ever talk with him about the gospel? Paul said, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. I'm indebted. I have been saved by God's grace. Someone shared the gospel with me. And here's a chance for me. I am indebted to them. I owe it to them, in other words, to talk with anybody that I can. And Paul used a word there, barbarian, in the American Standard. It's not, this is not Conan the Barbarian, you know, the cave-dwelling guy. It's a word that meant someone who spoke different languages, in languages that I don't even know. People that are from parts of the world that I don't know them. They're from other places. I will talk to anybody, Paul says. They're lost. And they're going to hellfire. And Jude says that we need to snatch them out of the fire. They may not be interested. Let them make that choice. But we need to talk with our neighbors about the gospel. On some have mercy who are in doubt. On some save, snatching them out of the fire. And all of the fires in California recently have provided a great loss. But it's nothing like hellfire. Let's do what we can to invite our neighbor. Give them a bulletin, give them a tract, give them the website, give them a copy of the sermon. Invite them to services, set up a Bible study, just open up your home, I'll come teach it. But let's talk with our neighbors this year about the gospel. I'm too busy to engage in good works. Paul said that we are to maintain good works. Well, when I get home from work, I'm so tired, I can't go back out and visit somebody, or I can't make somebody something, or text them, or email them, or check on them, make a phone call. I'm just too tired. And I can't come down here to the building and do anything, and I can't do it in the building or out of the building. And there's some sheets back there for 2025 that have all kinds of great things that we could do with regard to good works. But, you know, I'm thinking 2025 is going to be pretty busy for me. I can't clean the building. Pretty busy. Can't give somebody a ride or prepare the communion. I'm pretty busy. You see how that works? We've got to resist that. It comes up, and that's why the prophet mentioned that. The prophet could have easily said, Ahab, you let Ben-Hadad go. That could have been it. But he added that extra point, which is an important lesson, that often the reason we let things go is because we're busy here and there. And it slips through our fingers when we should be engaging in these kinds of things. I've got to check my Facebook, and, you know, I got stuff I got to do. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, there's a great list of things that we can be doing this year. It starts off with hospitality. Verses 1 and 2. And it goes down through there all kinds of great things that we can do with regard to good works. Pick one or two or more and busy ourselves doing them. I'm too busy to teach class. I work all day and got stuff going on, and on Saturday I just want to rest and too busy to teach class. Hebrews 5:12. We're always in need of teachers here at Warfield Boulevard. And you know, Jeff and others come to me and I'm just busy. I appreciate those who teach and those who volunteer. Thank you. But I'm pretty certain they have the exact same amount of time that I have during the week, but yet somehow they figure out a way to be a teacher. I can do the same. I'm too busy to prepare my Bible class lesson. I need to be studying. I need to be digging in as a Christian. I need to be knowing my Bible. Paul uses a word in 2 Timothy 2:15 to cut a straight course in the Word of God. In other words, be accurate. So that's going to involve study, words studies and context and background studies. But, you know, I'm just too busy. We spend the Lord's money copying books. Bob copied a bunch of books for the life of Christ. And the Lord's money is used to buy those books and buy that paper and so forth. And I get one one of the best ways to use that is to fill it out and learn and grow and study. Make good use of the Lord's money. Make good use of my time in digging in and learning the Word of God so that one day I can be a teacher and one day I can talk with others about the Word of God, because I've been learning. And I don't know how many times in my life I've gone through the life of Christ, but in this quarter I've learned a lot more things. There's always more to learn. We can always learn more. Let's not be too busy to teach Bible class. Let's not be too busy to prepare our Bible class lesson. Some people are too busy to enjoy life itself. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The old adage, stop and smell the roses. This may sound silly, but in the springtime, and when the roses come out all the way through late summer, nobody sees me doing this, but I actually stop and smell the roses when I'm out there weed eating and around the flower beds. Don't tell anybody. I actually do. What's the point? What's the point of having roses that smell if you're not going to smell them? God gives us colors. He gives us smells. He gives us things to feel that feel soft and nice. Why did God do all of that? So that we can enjoy that. We don't live in a black and white world. God has aesthetics. And we're supposed to enjoy life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, after talking about all the different seasons of life, there's the reminder in verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for them that they rejoice and do good so long as they live, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. We don't think about that sometimes, that one of the gifts that God has for us is to enjoy good things. Chapter 5 and verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen to be good and to be comely is for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy good in all his labor, wherein he labors under the sun all the days of his life which God has given him, for this is his portion. Get outside. Now, this might be a better point later on in the spring. It's kind of cold today, but this year, get outside and enjoy some things. Enjoy life. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 in a statement where Paul talks about those who are rich and they have means. Charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches. Look at this. But on God, look at this, who gives us richly all things to, what? To enjoy. We don't read that part of the verse much. Enjoy. Enjoy food. Enjoy nature. Enjoy what God gives you. There are some people that are workaholics. They're not enjoying life. And they're not enjoying their wife and children. Well, I got to work all week. This may be true for both men and women, but I know classically in our culture, typically the man is working so hard. Well, where's Dad? Well, he's at work. Well, what about afterward? Well, he's tired. And so the kids grow up, and they don't have mom and dad because they're so busy working. Do we enjoy our spouse? Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your life. Do you actually set aside, husbands and wives, time to just enjoy each other's company? Do you set aside time for that? If not every day, regularly, every week, do you set aside some time just to enjoy each other's company? Do you set aside time to enjoy the children? Well, I got to work. Well, we're working too much. Let's make some time for the important people in our lives. What I'm about to tell you, I've been guilty of, so I put myself in this category. But once I realized I was doing it, I really try to stop. And I'm doing pretty good at Thanksgiving. I was outside with the grandkids and some other of their cousins and stuff that were visiting, and I did pretty good. I did not have my phone. I wasn't looking at my phone. Yesterday, I was driving through town. There was a lady that was outside, and her kids had a sled, and they were sledding, and she was on her phone while the kids were sledding. She wasn't even paying any attention to us. The kids over there sledding. I'm not saying every time you do that, that's a problem. I'm saying, can we stop and enjoy our children? One-on-one personal time with them. I'm too busy to raise my children properly. This happens especially in our culture with the husbands. I'm so busy at work that the kids are either raising themselves or mom alone is doing it. Fathers are to nurture or bring up the children in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. If I'm too busy to raise my children, I'm too busy. And I need to be there for them. They have one shot at it. They're going to grow up and they're going to leave us one day. You've got one shot. And we live in a culture where kids are raising themselves pretty much. And we wonder why our society has gone berserk. Where are moms and dads? Either working or hobbies or something. Let's not be too busy to raise our children properly. Let's not be too busy to spend time with my brethren outside the assembly. Let's build each other up and encourage each other even outside the assembly. And if I can do more of that with you this year, let me know and I will do that. But we keep each other, the assembly, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, the assembly stirs us up. Definitely. But outside the assembly, we can be there for people who need us. And so there are going to be those Paul writes about, the admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. This is for all the church members. Yes, we expect the elders to do that. Yes, we expect certain ones to do that. But that's for all of us. And when we see someone that needs to be admonished or encouraged or supported, let's do that. And even if it's not something of a negative nature like that, just spending positive time with our brethren in this wicked world will encourage us more. Let's not be too busy to spend time with our brethren. And then last of all, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Let's not be too busy to nourish our own soul. The most important thing is not your phone, it's not your car, it's not your house, it's not your big TV, it's your soul, it's my soul. And we've got to take care of that. That's the most important thing. And when Jesus from time to time would call on people to follow Him, they did not quite realize this, and they're thinking, well, I need to go out and do this, and I need to go out and do that. And Jesus said, no, you come follow me first. He said unto one, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I've got stuff I got to do. But he said unto him, leave the dead, spiritually dead, to bury their own dead, physically dead. You go and publish abroad the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow thee, Lord, but first suffer me to bid farewell to them that are at my house. I got stuff I got to do. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to bury people or to say goodbye to people. He's saying priorities. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You're distracted. You've got other stuff you got to do. Too busy. In 1 Kings chapter 20, I'll close with this point. The prophet says, when I went out into this battle, someone came to me and said, keep this man. Brethren, we have duties. We have duties that God wants us to perform. That's the previous points that I was making there. We have duties. Let's not neglect them. Keep this man. Today it's assembling. And all of the things that we talked about. I was busy here and there. This is unaccepted excuses. just like in Luke 14, well, I've got to go prove these oxen and I've gotten married and so forth. It's unacceptable to the Lord. And he was gone. Vanished opportunities. The opportunity to come worship God and the opportunity to save a soul and the opportunity to read a Bible. To live in a land that allows that, and it's so easy, and we have an educational system that allows us to read, and what great privileges and opportunities. Let's not squander them. Well, he was gone. And then, assured judgment. The prophet said, thy life for his life. And Ahab did lose his life about 3 years later. There will be a judgment day coming. And we need to make sure that we've not been busy here and there in all of these matters. If we can encourage you this morning to make your life right with God, let me encourage you to do that. Come forward as we stand and sing. If we can help you in any way, why won't you come?